Join me in prayer as we come to God's Word this morning. Father, I thank you for this day again. Thank you for these songs of worship and wonder. Thank you for these amazing words that lift us up in our spirit to worship and honor you. And Father, now as we come to your Word, we ask very simply that we would be challenged by your Word, that we would be excited in what we talk about, and that we would take the challenge of what it says to our lives on a daily and routine basis and apply it to our lives. So give us open hearts and open minds today. Give us wisdom as we listen to your Word and as we are challenged by it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning again, and it's been a little while since I preached up here. It's been between the Stone Barn and Rudy and Dustin, and it's kind of nice to take that opportunity to watch other people shine and to do well, and I'm so thankful for the team that we have, but I so appreciate the opportunity to come and speak to you, my family. And today, it's going to be a little different, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but we have 2 weeks left in this sermon series called Speak, Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. And we've been working through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that are important to us in our faith. And we've been talking about the true meaning behind some of those. And today we will do that as well as I look at one of my favorite. I think my probably, and I'm not saying this to mock Dustin, I'm not. My favorite psalm of all time. I preach on Psalm 23, which I think is an amazing psalm. Today I'm going to look at Psalm 91, which is, I believe, the one that has impacted my life the most, and I'll share with you why in a few moments. But we've had this great opportunity to look through some great hymns, to look at some of the psalms that we know so well, but do we really understand what they mean, and to really focus on those. And next week we'll kind of close out that sermon series, and then we're going to spend a couple weeks trying to gear ourselves towards our fall push. And the push for this coming year. And I'm really excited by this. And I want to just remind you, we've talked about this a little bit. But in the fall and through all of next year, through the school year calendar, we're going to be looking at this idea of believe, which is a follow-up study that was presented by Randy Frazee, who gave us, along with Max Licato, the story that we went through a number of years ago. And it seems like just a few years ago, but it was actually probably five, six, maybe even years ago, that we walked through the story. And the story helped us understand God's word, amazing word from Genesis to Revelation, and understand that it's one big love story, not 66 small stories with 100 billion small stories underneath that. It's a great opportunity. That was a great opportunity for us to understand God's word as a whole unit. And now we're going to be looking at this idea of believe. Think three things. Think, what do I believe? Act, what should I do? And be, who am I becoming? And I'm excited not only that we'll be going through this 10 weeks in the fall, we'll be talking about this idea of what do we believe, our core beliefs. Now, guess what? Not everybody in the room believes everything the same. But we're going to look at the big 10 things about our faith from a scriptural standpoint. We're going to have a little study, a little four-minute survey we're going to send out here in a couple weeks. We're going to ask as many of you as possible to take it on these 10 things. And then at the end of that 10-week period, we'll take it again. And we don't expect that it will be a glowing result that everybody believes 100% the same things in this room, because we have a variety of experiences in this room. We have a variety of backgrounds in this room. We have a variety of people at different stages of the spiritual journey. And we understand that, and we respect that. We love that. We're encouraged by that. And yet we just want to know where we stand on some of these things. And then in the winter, when we come back after Christmas, we'll pick up the act. What should I be doing? These acts of being a follower of Christ. And then the last piece, that be, who am I becoming? We're going to spend 10 weeks looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And how exciting that's going to be to walk through those 30 weeks together. I'm excited because the youth are going to be following along with that same study pattern. The young adults, I believe, are going to as well. The children's ministry is geared around those themes as well. So parents, not only will you be hearing it in here, your kids will be getting it at youth group on Wednesday night. Your children will be hearing it in the back on Sunday mornings. We're going to have guides for those who want to get together with others and just study it deeper, or have a small group Bible study, or even for your life change groups to get together. And it's going to be encouraging as we all just refocus. And I know it's going to be a positive thing as we grow together in those things. It's always good to look at those core beliefs, values, acts, and just simply who we're called to be. So I hope you're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, and we're going to be looking at that. But today, we're going to look at Psalm 91 in a few moments, but we're going to look at it because we're focusing. I told Dustin, today's all about Dustin. Now, it's all about Jesus, first and foremost, but it's all about Dustin. Dustin is leaving this week on his sabbatical. He's not really going anywhere other than he won't be here. And we want to talk a little bit about that. What, you know, for those who are new or newer to us, you may not understand the idea of sabbatical. You may not understand what that is about. But I had a joy on Friday of doing two things I love doing. And two things I did on Friday was, one, eat barbecue. And two, I ate barbecue with Dustin. We love good food together. And I look like it more than he does. I don't know why that's not fair. I told him, I said, I'm taking you out for lunch. This is our last hurrah together. Where you want to go? And what's the name of the place? The Cook Shack in Nisku. If you haven't been there, go. It's great barbecue. And we sat and just didn't rush. We chatted and we dreamed and we talked about what the sabbatical could be for him and what it means for the long range of his ministry in life, his ministry here at LFC, and what it means for us as a church. So I was inspired and encouraged by that. I appreciate Dustin very much, as I believe we all do. I know we all do. We've learned to just, love on him and love him and be loved by him. And I'm thrilled that we have an associate that's been with us almost 8 years now. It'd be 7.5 now, so he's a little beyond his expiration date for his sabbatical, but we're letting him go. We're very lucky, he and I, to be in a church that allows a sabbatical on a regular basis. Not only allows it, I think, honestly, expects it. And we're very lucky to be, as a church, part of an association where a sabbatical mindset is prominent. Our church, our denomination, has 17 different associations. And as best I can tell, the ABA, the Alberta Baptist Association, is the only one that has a written policy for sabbatical. And what I can tell you is, as I rub shoulders with my fellow pastors from other places in the U.S. and Canada, first off, they do not understand what a sabbatical is. Second off, they need one badly. So many of our pastors are burning out and frying and not doing well. And in the ABA, I'll tell you some more details of that in a little bit. I've told you before, the ABA churches are finding a depth of health that we've never seen before because of the health we bring to our pastors. Because we allow them not to be perfect. We allow them to be okay getting tired, but getting a chance to rest. Now, I know not all of you understand sabbatical, and I know some of you don't understand why we get it. Some of you probably think we don't deserve it. I don't care. Thank you that I got one. And I don't know if I can say this completely, but I would not be in the shape I'm in today if I didn't get my sabbatical 2 years ago. We had come off a year and a half, almost 2 years of capital campaigns and fundraising and trying to find lending for a building and picking a building project, amongst lots of hurt and strain in people's lives and a lot of growing things happening. And I thank you that I got my sabbatical at the perfect time. We were talking about it just this morning that 2 years ago, this very week would have been the week I would have been leaving on my sabbatical. And earlier in the week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, was when we knew that the funding for the building was secure. So if you remember, you prayed for me here, and then we walked outside and did the ground turning, sod turning for our building project. And I love the fact that they prayed for me here, you prayed for me here, we went out there, and that was the focus. That God is moving in our midst, and things are growing, and things are happening. So I thank you for that. And you know what, Dustin, at one point when I started talking to him and say, you're coming on the 7-year mark here, you're due a sabbatical. And initially, right, he said, I don't need one. And I said, I don't care, you're taking one. But by the time you know you need a sabbatical, it's too late. And I'll go ahead and give you what I was going to give you later, but the ABA has found that we used to give sabbaticals retroactively when a pastor was burned out. And what happens when you give a sabbatical retroactively is 85% of pastors leave within 6 months after returning from their sabbatical. So if you're not a big fan of Dennis, you're saying, why didn't we give it to him retroactively? Hope you don't think that way. But what we found since we've been giving them proactively is that pastors' tenure in their churches is somewhere between 2 and 3 times as long as what it used to be. And some of you, I know some of you were raised honestly with a mindset saying a pastor should only stay 5 years, clear out, and let somebody else come in with a better vision. And I would argue that churches today in general are showing greater health and depth and ability to reach their communities because there's this longevity of pastors in those churches. And I would say the ABA is forefronted for the North American Baptist, this idea of a sabbatical rest built in for our pastors. So that's an important thing that I want to talk about. For those who don't understand it, it's just simply a season of rest, renewal, rejuvenation. Some churches, some institutions say a sabbatical, you have to produce something. You have to produce a book or a sermon series or something. The ABA does not promote that because they promote it as rest and renewal. And I think that is what it should be. Tom Rainer, who is the CEO of Lifeway Books, many of you may know Tom Rainer's name. He was previously the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary founding dean of the Billy Graham School of Evangelism and Missions. And he does a lot of research in pastors' lives, and he says basically pastors need sabbaticals, and here's 5 reasons why he says they need them. One is that a pastor has emotional highs and lows unlike most other vocations. And he says this, he says, in the course of a day, a pastor can deal with death, deep spiritual issues, great encouragement, petty criticisms, tragedies, illness, and celebrations of birth. The emotional roller coaster is draining. Your pastor needs a break, many times a break with no distractions. Second to that, following up on that, he says, a pastor is on 24-hour call. This idea that most pastors can't just turn off and, you know what, we're blessed here. Luckily, you know, there's not a lot of things happening in the middle of the night here, but there's times when it happens. I remember that night at 3 a.m, my phone rang and it was Jasmine Hope calling. Jasmine, if you don't remember Jasmine, or if you know Jasmine, she works for the RCMP. She said, Dennis, I hate to call you at 3 a.m. with this news. And I thought, who died? And then she said, somebody broke a window at the church. Took a deep breath, and I told her, sorry, the next day, I said, you always lead with, everybody's okay, there's just a broken window at the church, I'm sorry to have to call you at 3 a.m. about this. Always lead it with the most important piece of information, everybody's okay. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's dead. There's no call you have to go on. But that is a reality in the life of pastors sometimes. RCMP show up. You have to go to let somebody know that their loved one is dead. It's a tough one. Pastors need time of uninterrupted study. And there's this idea that pastors, the most important thing they can do is sit in the office and pray and study and present the best message possible on Sunday morning. And yet so often weeks don't go that way. Things happen. And I would say honestly some of the best sermons are the weeks where life happens and you're dealing with people and their concerns and their problems and their struggles. And then you show up, God honors that and says, you know what, out of that loving community that you've been a part of this week, here's a message of hope and encouragement. So that's important. Number 4, pastors who have a sabbatical have longer tenure at their churches. We've talked about that. The 5th one is very important. Pastors who have sabbatical view the time off as an affirmation from their church of their giftedness, their calling, and the church loving them. And I took it as that, and I know Dustin is taking it as that. We thank you as a congregation for allowing us that opportunity. So whether Dustin thinks he needs it or not, he's taking a sabbatical. I told him it wasn't a choice. We're going to be proactive, not reactive. I want to make sure that he builds in that rest cycle that he needs before he hits harder times. There's a dryness in ministry life that sometimes I think people can't understand. You think maybe, I don't think you do if you know me, but you think maybe we all sit back and everything's just wonderful and we just study the Bible and pray and there's just this glow in our office and everything's great, you know, and there's this, you know, you walk in and you have to put your sunglasses on because we're in the presence of God. And yet there's a dryness of life in ministry at times because we're always creating to convince. We're always working to influence, to help, to solve, to prepare others for a problem or to get over a problem. And sometimes what happens is in the midst of that, the pastor is as dry as anybody in the congregation. because everything they do is for somebody else. And there's a caring for our soul that we as pastors have to get a hold of. It's first and foremost our responsibility, but it is a reality that we need to do that. We need to learn to care for our souls the best we can. One of my favorite verses of all times is, not Psalm 91, that's my favorite psalm. My favorite verse was given to me by my youth pastor in high school. Because I like the outdoors, and I used to like to go fishing with him. And he gave me this one in our grad, at high school grad. He said, this is Isaiah 40:31, you know it well. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And as pastors, sometimes as spiritual leaders, not just pastors, your lay leaders in the church are the same. Sometimes they're so focused on the needs of others that they forget to take care of their own needs. And I want to tell you something that's really encouraging, folks. This may not sound like, listen to the whole statement. We're just beginning to see the wonderful things that this young man can do. There is a thought, and I believe it, I've said it for years, and there's proof behind it, that it takes 5 to 7 years to begin a ministry or to become a pastor of a church. Because it takes 5 years for people to realize, wait a minute, this guy's actually going to stick around. A youth pastor, and he's our associate pastor, he does youth. A youth pastor coming in, most of the time, is coming in after multiple youth pastors in the last number of years. And the attitude of the kids quite often is, how long are you going to stay? Why am I going to pour my life into you? Because you're not going to stick around. And Dustin and I were talking on Friday, and you know, this church had a history of nobody staying longer than 5 years. Nothing against those other people. It's just 5 years. It was a change. And I've been here 10 years. He's been here almost 8. And we're thrilled that we can be here that long to continue to work with you, because I feel like, and I said on Friday, I believe we're just scratching the surface of what LFC is supposed to be and do. It's always been great. But I think we're just getting to where God wants us to really blossom. And I want Dustin to be strong for that. I want him to be excited for that. I want him to come back strengthened for that. Because we need him, we want him, and we want him to grow into his full potential. And when I said we're just beginning to see, it doesn't mean he wasn't doing great things. He was doing great things. It just means there's better things to come. It's like fine wine. It's better with age and experience. Oh, what kind of experience wine has, but it's good. So I want us to pray. We're going to pray in a few moments for Dustin after we talk about a few other things. But as we do that, these are the things I want us to pray for. So these are our prayers for Dustin and for Carla, for the family as they take this time of rest. One is a new perspective. What that means is that's what I needed most when I left for my sabbatical. I needed a new perspective. I had lost track of what were the most important things and what were the piddly things that had the squeaky wheel griping about. And when you're too tired and when you're too myopic, focused on too little of a thing, I said it when I came back, that every pebble in the pond was like a tsunami. Any little ripple in the pool that when somebody wasn't satisfied, I thought was the end of the world. And leaving for 4 months was the most important thing to give me perspective on what was important and what was not. So Dustin, I don't think you're out of perspective, but I hope you get a clearer perspective on the important things, the things we should be doing and the things we shouldn't be doing. And I don't just mean that in your ministry, I mean that in our ministry. And I hope you come back I hope you do now, feel the freedom to speak into that. So a new perspective is the first thing. A renewed plan, a clearer focus in the areas where he does have leadership, that he could just feel a newness of the plan and that he would be renewed in that. I hope for a healthier pace. Now, Dustin he's a good pacer. But at the same time, there's always things that we can adjust and say, you know what, in this area I need to pace myself slower, and this thing I need to speed things up a little bit. And to know what God's plan in the pace is. And I hope in this time that Dustin can focus on what God has gifted him for and called him to. That he can know without a doubt the pace he needs to keep in each area. So a new perspective, a renewed plan, a healthier pace, a redetermined place. And time out before you get crazy. I'm not telling him he can't go anywhere. I told him that. But where he fits into this organization might change. And one thing I think I've hopefully said since the beginning of the time Dustin started with us, And I've asked him numerous times every year, how are you feeling? Do you feel like you're fulfilled here? Do you feel like you can spread your wings and do what you want to do? And I've said this publicly, speaking at the Taylor Seminary for the Growing Healthy Church staff. I've always said that if Dustin wants to try something else that he doesn't think he can do here, I hope we have the first right of refusal with him to give him an opportunity to do it here. Now, he may say, I want to do something that just doesn't fit here. And we say, sayonara, buddy, you're out of here. Don't say it that way. But if he wants to grow, I want him to grow, hopefully, in our midst here. Now, if God calls him somewhere else, God calls him somewhere else, and we can't stop the Lord in that. But I hope he can know that he can reestablish his place here. And we've already been talking about the future, and what that looks like is both of us are here longer, and as the ministry grows and as there's bigger and different needs, we've been talking about that, and I'm looking forward to him getting back so we can continue to talk about that with the leadership of the church. And the last piece is a strengthened protection. That as he goes and spends time with God, as he communes with God in a new way, I pray that blind spots would be seen, weaknesses would be felt, and that he would have a sense that God is there not only to fill him up, but to protect him from anything that would distract him from the work that God has called him to do. So we want those things for Dustin. New perspective, renewed plan, healthier pace, redetermined place, and a strengthened protection. And as I thought about that, that's where I came to Psalm 91. And if you have your Bible, please pull them out. This is a psalm that God gave me probably about 13 or 14 years ago. When I was still in my ministry at the Alberta Baptist Association, God spoke this into my life in a new way. It became very evident to me one day sitting in a porch swing at a place in backwoods Illinois at a conference I was at. It came in a season when I saw a number of my friends falling by the wayside in ministry, either through moral failing or just hating the church and disappearing and getting out. And I was worried for my own life because I know I have weaknesses and there are things that the world could take and run with me or the devil could plant in me. And God gave me Psalm 91 to focus on. As I thought about Dustin and his preparation, I want this psalm to be on his heart and mind as he leaves, as he goes. So here it is, Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. There's a familial point there, the tent, the family, not just the person, but the family. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Then listen to this last part. I love this part. Because he loves me, says the Lord. It goes from this, kind of switches perspectives here. This is God speaking. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And as Dustin goes and as Dustin seeks after the face of the Lord, my goal is, Dustin, that you would just love this passage along with many others, but that you would just focus on what God wants to do in your life and the things that God wants to restore and renew and strengthen and bring into your life. There's a lot of things that God says here. He says, I will rescue him. deliver you, cause to escape. It gives you a chance to deliver you, rescue you from the busyness and to rest up. I will protect him. That idea of setting him on a high place, a protected place. And I love that idea that this protection, this setting up at a high place for protection is a great vantage point for Dustin to review his life, his calling, his ministry over the next 4 months. God says, I will answer him. He'll respond to you. As you seek his face and you question, he'll answer. He'll be with you in times of trouble and afflictions or distress. He will deliver you, Dustin, and rescue you and bring you to safety. He will honor you, make you rich, strong, heavy with honor. He'll bless you with a long life and satisfy you in the journey of life. And God will show you his salvation. He'll let you see his deliverance and his victory in your life. And that doesn't have to be our salvation that happened way back when. You gave your life to Christ way back when. That salvation happened then. This is constant part of the journey where salvation is constantly happening of sorts. This sanctification, this growing, this deepening, this preparing your heart for new and greater things as he's called you. I just want you to rest in those things. And as we said, these are the things we want to pray for, that new perspective, renewed plan, all those things. As you just rest in God's merciful place, under the care of his wings, he'll take care of you. Now, for all of us, those are things that we should want in our lives too. On a regular basis, a weekly basis, Sabbath basis, a time to come and to rest that God might fulfill the things he wants to fulfill in us. So this message is not just for Dustin, it's for all of us as we seek to just really live out God's plan for our life. That we seek after God, that we come and we find our refuge in him. That we trust in his might and his power. And he will rescue us, he will protect us, he will answer us. He will be with us in times of trouble. He will deliver us from everything. Doesn't seem like it at times, but he's there. He will honor us. He'll satisfy us with long life, hopefully, productive lives. And he will show us the deliverance and victory that he's provided in our life, that we might follow hard after him continuously. In a moment, I'm going to ask Carla and Dustin to come up, and we're going to gather around and pray for them. And then after that, we're going to sing two more songs in our closing, and one of them is the song Hungry. I just thought of this song this week as we were thinking about this focus, sending Dustin off, hoping the best for him. And I love this song. It kind of goes along with Psalm 91. I'll read it to you now so when we sing it later, you can be mindful of it. But it says, hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. Man, I think, you know, if anything, I could say, Dustin, I want you to feel that during your sabbatical, that Jesus is all your heart desires. Broken I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. And once again, hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. And that's my hope for you and for Carla as she walks this road with you, for your family, that you guys would just sense the power of God in a new way. And I'm excited for what you're going to share with us when you come back. I'm excited for where God is going to help you take us as a group, where we're going to go as a family together because of the rest and the renewal that God brings into your life. Carla, in the room somewhere. Carla, you want to come on up? And Lizzie, if you want to join you. We're not going to disturb the younger kids up in the back because we want Carla to enjoy this too. So Dustin, come on up with her. And I'm going to ask our elders to come up and get ready to lay some hands on here. And anybody, if you're, you know, there's lots of great friends here. If you're great friends, that makes it sound like everybody's going to come. But if you have a special, strong connection with these folks and you want to come be a part of this too, please feel free to come on up and lay hands on these folks. One thing we hope to do this summer that we have not done is to incorporate some liturgy that we as Baptists are bad at doing. But I found a little liturgical prayer here for the welcome of a Sabbath. And a sabbatical is a very long Sabbath. And what we're asking for them is that they would enter this Sabbath season. And what we need to pray on a regular basis for our lives should be this very thing, that God would bring Sabbath into our lives. So I just want to read these words to you. So this is a prayer to welcome the Sabbath. And we say this for our own lives, but primarily for Dustin and Carla as they enter this season. Lord of creation, create in us a new rhythm of life, composed of hours that sustain rather than stress, of days that deliver rather than destroy, of time that tickles rather than tackles. Lord of liberation, by the rhythm of your truth, set us free from the bondage and baggage that break us, from the pharaohs and fellows who fail us, from the plans and pursuits that prey upon us. Lord of resurrection, may we be raised into the rhythm of your new life, dead to deceitful calendars, dead to fleeting friends' request, dead to empty peace of our accomplishments. To our packed full planners, we bid peace. To our over-caffeined consciences, we say cease. To our suffocating selves, Lord, grant release. Drowning in the sea of deadlines and death chimes, we rest in you, our lifeline. By your ever restful grace, allow us to enter your Sabbath rest as your Sabbath rest enters into us. In the name of our Creator, our Liberator, our resurrection and life, we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're just going to stop and pray for Dustin and Carla, and I'm just going to have the mic if anybody wants it and want to pray over them. I'll close after a while, but just kind of throw your hand out here and I'll put the microphone in it and we'll pass it along. There we go. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts that you've given to us as a church, for Dustin and Carla and their children, for the gifts and the abilities that you've given them, but Father, more than that, what they've meant to the life of this church and to me. Father, we thank you for the way that you've used them. Father, we also know that they need this rest. They need to be renewed in who they are in you. They need that new picture of what you have in store for them. Father, in ministry, it's so easy to get caught up in all that we're doing that we forget that the reason we're here is to be in fellowship with you, because that's what you've created us for. We just pray for them in this time as they take this Sabbath time to rest, to reflect, and to hear your voice, that they would sense your nearness in an ever-increasing way. And they'd come back to us renewed and refreshed with a new vision for what you have in store for all of us. For we pray it in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, that Father, having a program like this, Lord, where the pastors can really get a break, Lord, to sort of renew their focus, Lord, learn from you what you want them to be taught, Lord, and Father, just that they would be able to come back refreshed and renewed, and Father, just that it's such it's so sad when pastors, good pastors, people who are experienced and they have a lot of wisdom to lay on the congregation, Lord, that, Father, they get burned out, Lord, and they just, it's so sad that, you know, people, they just fall away because they just get so overwhelmed and it's just no break. And, Father, so I just pray that Dustin would be wise with his time, Lord, that he would be able to, you know, stay focused on you, Lord, rejuvenate himself, Lord, recharge the batteries. And I just pray that, Father, he uses this time, Lord, and just refocuses on you. And I just thank you and praise you.
Father, we do just come and lift up our loved ones to you. We would ask, as has been prayed, that this would be an amazing season. And Father, I know it is it's an amazing opportunity, but it's a weird season as well. So for Carla and for Dustin, as they seek to rest, and yet as they call this place their home and their family, we pray that they would find peace and freedom even in that. That they would enjoy the company of friends and family from this congregation continuously, but Lord, that they would still be able to remove themselves to find that rest and that lack of focus for a season on the things that are happening here. So we give them to you and ask that you would hold them in this very special and yet strange season of life that most can't even prepare for. We would ask that you would fulfill the desires of their heart for rest and renewal, that you would bring into their minds newness of exciting things for ministry, and that you would refine their calling, Lord, as a couple, as a family, and for Dustin as a pastor, that you would just come and speak words to him that speak straight to his heart in preparing him to be the man that you've called him to be and you're preparing him to continue to be. Lord, allow him to open himself up for changes where it needs be, for digging deep and hunkering down where that needs to happen. But Lord, give him strength as he listens to your words and your calling upon his life. And Father, as you're preparing his heart for what he will hear, I pray that you will prepare our hearts for what he will hear as he returns and shares with us what he has heard from you. Allow us to support him in the absence and allow us to be prepared for his return. Allow us to walk the road into the future with them. So, Father, we thank you for these we love so much. We thank you for who they are, how much they mean to us, as has been prayed. But, Lord, we continue to thank you for that. And Lord, we just simply pray that they would be blessed beyond belief. So we give them to you now as your dearly loved children. And we lay them at your feet, that you would hold them in your arms and embrace them with the embrace of only the Heavenly Father could embrace them with, that they would feel the joy that comes from you alone in this season and beyond it. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Got a few hugs, and then we're going to allow Dustin to say a few words. As Dustin finishes up his hugs and he gets ready to share, we are going to ask the worship team to come and be ready for our last couple songs after he's done sharing. So worship team, if you would come, Dustin.
Well, that was deeply, deeply humbling. Thank you, Dennis, so much, and to the leadership here. I could talk forever. I'm not going to. You know me, I talk too much. But I just wanted to say that I am deeply humbled and deeply appreciative of this opportunity. I am very, very excited. As Dennis said, it's been a journey even coming to the sabbatical of just processing, and I am unbelievably thankful that this church and Dennis has encouraged that, and forced is not the right word because it wasn't something I desperately needed or I'm on the edge or anything like that. But just this is a time that we want you to take, and so I am so, so appreciative of that opportunity. And as we've been kind of journeying towards this, it's been really exciting. The things God has already been speaking and preparing me for, and it's going to be a really, really exciting season, I think. As Dennis kind of mentioned, I really feel like we've only just begun. There's so much more that God has for us here in Leduc and at LFC, and just the amazing things that God has been doing. I look so forward to continuing to be a part of that. And as I just get a chance to dig into that and pray into that a little more deeply, what my role looks like in that and what this church is going to look like and the places that I can really be bringing life and energy, and I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you so much. If you see us out in the wild, don't hide or anything like that. We're going to unplug a little bit from the things that are happening here. We're going to kind of visit some other churches and just see what I'm excited. One of the things I'm really excited for is just to see what God is doing in Leduc, in the other churches here. There's lots of cool things that we're going to be able to do, but I'm excited to just attend and just see how those bodies are working, how those expressions of Jesus are working and the things that God is doing there, so that we can see just in our community here what God is doing. So there's a lot. If, like I say, if you see us out there, we're not hiding from anybody. We'd love to talk to you and just be excited to engage and just see what God is doing in your life, because this is our family. If we didn't work here, we would attend here. This is our church. This is the church that we just feel so connected to and plugged in, and it's such a privilege to then be able to bring leadership and to serve in this place. So thank you, and we are looking very forward to this, and we'll be around, I think, for the grand opening, because we can't miss that. That's going to be so, so exciting. But lots of really cool things coming in. So thank you again for this opportunity. And we will see you in January, I guess, if not before. I guess. Let's sing. I'm going to stop talking. Let's sing.